Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coffee Break Italian, Season 3, Episode 6. Ciao a tutti e bentornati a Coffee Break Italian. Io sono Mark.
Salve a tutti e io sono Francesca. Come stai, Mark?
Sono contento perché oggi ho un caffè perché mi aiuta stamattina.
Ah, buona idea, Mark. Io invece sto bevendo un tè oggi, un tè verde.
Devo dire che bevo più caffè che tè.
Ah, ok, interessante. This is, you know, Mark, this is an interesting sentence because you could have also said bevo più caffè di tè.
Ah, okay,
meaning,
I
drink more coffee than you.
That is great because, yes, yeah, so if, what I said was bevo più caffè che tè, meaning I drink more coffee than tea. But you're suggesting that we could also say di tè, meaning I drink more coffee than you, di tè.
Yes, and it sounds the same. If it was written, then obviously the word for tea would have an accent. But when speaking, it sounds exactly the same word. So it's very interesting. I'd never thought of that.
Molto interessante, molto interessante. Of course, that was what we covered last time. But this time we're covering something different. Francesca, what have you got for us today?
Yes, we're still in the topic of adjectives, but today we are looking specifically at relative and absolute superlatives of adjectives, obviously.
Sounds quite fancy, but I think as ever, some examples will help. Allora, bando alle ciance?
Sì, come sempre, diamo inizio alle danze!
Okay, Francesca, I think I might need a stronger coffee. Relative and absolute superlatives. Tell us more.
Okay, shall we start from relative superlatives?
Sounds good.
Okay, so relative superlatives are situations where we compare one thing not just to another thing, but to all the other things or people belonging to the same category.
Okay, so...
Sounds complicated.
It does. Last time we talked about comparatives, which is the kind of more idea. Superlatives is the most idea.
Sì, sì, esatto. In English is the most thing. So let's just start with an example. As always, I think it's the best thing to do this. I can say that Londra è la città più grande del Regno Unito. Londra è la città più grande del Regno Unito.
Right, if we looked at this and translated it word for word, we would have London is the city more big of the United Kingdom. Okay, with more big, più grande. However, because we've got la città più grande, it actually is meaning it's the biggest city of the United Kingdom.
Esatto, sì, perfetto. Londra è la città più grande del Regno Unito. So we have the definite article, la. We still have the word più, and for the opposite, the contrary, we can use meno, as we learned in the previous episode, and the adjective, la più grande. And for the comparison, we're using di again.
Okay, so Londra è la città più grande del Regno Unito. Can you give us another example?
Sì, let's try with meno this time. Questi sono i personaggi meno famosi della serie.
Questi sono i personaggi, these are the characters, the people, meno famosi, least famous, della serie. So these are the least famous people in the series.
Esatto, sì. So again, we have the definite article, a noun, i personaggi, meno, and the adjective that we are using for the comparison, meno famosi. So these are the least famous characters of the series.
Okay, a quick question here, Francesca. I think I may have heard something along the lines of Londra è la più grande città del Regno Unito.
Yes, that's right, Mark. With some adjectives, like the adjective grande in this case, we can change the word order and we can say Londra è la più grande città del Regno Unito. And if we are talking, like if we are already talking about cities and we know that the topic is cities, we could also say, ah sì, Londra è la più grande del Regno Unito, if it's already intended that the topic, the subject matter is cities.
Good. Okay. So in that sense, we don't need to repeat la città. In that sense, we would just say Londra è la più grande del Regno Unito.
Esatto, sì, sì, sì.
Okay, that all makes sense so far, because in a sense it's a little similar to what we have in English. However, there are some things that we need to consider. And one of these things to consider is that we have some irregular forms, don't we?
Sì, as we mentioned in the previous episode, some adjectives can have irregular forms. So we mentioned buono. And we can say il più buono, but we also have the alternative with the adjective il migliore, or obviously la migliore for feminine, i migliori masculine plural, and le migliori feminine plural. So the adjectives, the irregular adjectives we mentioned in the previous episode also have an alternative when it comes to the relative superlatives here.
Ottimo, ottimo. Okay, can we have some examples again?
Sì, ad esempio possiamo dire la pizza è il piatto migliore d'Italia.
Sono forse d'accordo.
Non so, ma forse. Vediamo. So, we could say la pizza è il piatto più buono d'Italia, or il più buon piatto d'Italia. But with the adjective buono, we know that we have the alternative of migliore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so pizza is the best dish of Italy, or in Italy. Okay.
Possiamo dire, remember we also gave the example with siblings, with piccolo, minore, or grande, maggiore. Ad esempio, Luigi è il minore dei fratelli.
Okay, so Luigi is the youngest of the brothers, the smallest of the brothers, not in physical size, but in age.
Sì, we could have said il più piccolo, but as we mentioned in the previous episode, when it comes to siblings, it's quite common to use maggiore or minore. And at times in these situations, instead of di for the comparison, we can also use tra or fra as an alternative.
Right.
When we compare to someone to another someone or something which is plural. So we could say Luigi è il minore tra i fratelli.
So there we have tra or fra, both of which kind of mean among. So he's the youngest among all the brothers.
Esatto, sì.
Is there any difference between di or tra in this case?
Well, we can only use tra or fra if the thing we are comparing something with is plural. So in this case, we can say Luigi è il minore dei fratelli or tra i fratelli. But if we think of the previous example with Londra, then we cannot really say Londra è la città più grande fra il Regno Unito, because the Regno Unito is just one single entity.
But could I say Londra è la città più bella tra tutte le città che ho visitato?
Sì, perfetto. Quello è perfetto, Mark, bravissimo.
Okay, out of all the cities that I visited, London is the most beautiful. No offense to London, I probably don't agree, but anyway, there are other cities
importa,
that I prefer.
Non importa, sono tutte belle le città.
Indeed, and just as a grammatical example, obviously. Now, these are relative superlatives that we're looking at. You also mentioned absolute superlatives, and I think this is where Italian has something a little special.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so absolute superlatives, first of all, are like when there is no comparison, basically, when something is the best or the worst, with no comparison whatsoever. And probably our listeners are already familiar with adjectives ending in issimo or issima. Without knowing it, this is an absolute superlative. So when we say il gelato è buonissimo, Anna è altissima, so this is like very tall, very good, with no comparison.
And one of the best things about this, it's always great when you come across a new grammar point that you didn't realize you already know. So there you go. You've got absolute superlatives that are issimo, issima, issimi, issime. Basically, drop the final vowel and add issimo with those changes to it. However, there are some irregular forms here as well that we need to look at.
See, some irregularities that we have to consider at this level. First of all, with adjectives ending in co and go, most of them, not all of them, as always, Italian has irregularities in the irregularities. But as a general rule, if there is an adjective ending in co or go, and we want to add issimo, then we also need the help of the letter H to retain the hard sound. So, for example, antico, then we need to add H to produce antichissimo. Otherwise, we would end up with anticissimo.
Which sounds a little strange. Yeah, so antichissimo, so an H in there after the C to keep that the sound of the K hard.
Or with the G, ad esempio, largo, mm-hmm. large, then if we just attach issimo, the result is largissimo, but we want a G sound, so we must add H, and the result is larghissimo.
That makes perfect sense. Okay.
Okay, and we mentioned some irregularities before and in the previous episode, or some alternatives that we have for adjectives like buono, cattivo, and so on. And we also have the so-called synthetic forms here. So, for example, with the adjective buono, we can obviously say buonissimo. We always say buonissimo and it's absolutely fine. But we also have the alternative of ottimo.
I think I said that earlier, actually, without even thinking about this. Ottimo. Yeah, so that means the optimal, the most good form.
Sì, we can say questa pizza è buonissima, but there is also the alternative of saying questa pizza è ottima, and it's a lovely adjective, and it also adds that little bit of really idea of something being top quality, really being the best.
Mm-hmm. Soprattutto quando c'è cipollo, sì.
Oh, no. Che disastro, ti prego.
So if it did have pollo on it, if that pizza, what would be the worst possible description there?
Then we would use pessimo or pessima in the case of a pizza.
So that's the opposite of ottimo, pessimo.
Sì, pessimo. So it means very, very bad. So cattivissimo or cattivissima, but the synthetic form is a pessimo, pessima.
Okay. Reserved not only for pizza with chicken.
Sì. And again, for grande, we can say grandissimo or massimo. Mm-hmm. Or for piccolo, piccolissimo, or minimo.
Minimo, yeah. I actually love the word piccolissimo. I think it's a lovely sounding word.
It sounds nice, yes.
Tiny, tiny. Minimo. Like, we see that these words obviously are coming from Latin. We have the same roots for the words in English that we use, like optimal and maximum and minimum and so on. So it's interesting to see how these are used in everyday Italian. Francesca, are there any alternatives to these issimo words? Because there are a couple of suffixes in my head that I'm thinking, you know, like we can add extra to something, extra to an adjective to give it a little more an alternative to the issimo form.
See, there are a lot of options I can think of in Italian. Obviously, we have the word molto. So if we take the adjective bello, for example, we can say bellissimo. As an alternative, we can say molto bello. We can also use assai, which personally is something that I don't use very often, but it's such a lovely word, assai bello. I think it's more common in the south of Italy, and I really like the sound of assai. Assai bello. And something very Italian is the repetition of the adjective. We can say, oh, è bello bello, è buono
it.
Buono, è bravo bravo, è veloce veloce.
Okay, just coming back to assai, if you are a French learner, just a little word of advice here. Don't get confused between assai in Italian and assai in French, because assai in French has the sense of quite or enough. But in Italian, assai is much stronger than that. It's the most beautiful thing. Assai bello.
See, that's a good point, Mark. And now that you're talking about French, I think I should also mention, in case our listeners speak French, when it comes to the relative superlative, don't get confused with the French structure for relative superlatives. In Italian, you cannot use the definite article twice when you are creating a relative superlative structure.
Very good idea to mention that, Francesca. If you're not a French learner, or if you've never studied French, just ignore all of that. But because we know that many of our learners have studied French or have a grounding in French, then sometimes it is useful to draw comparisons between the languages. So we can use molto, we can use assai, we can double our adjective, bello bello, and of course we can use our issimo forms. Anything else?
See, there are some suffixes that are also quite nice as an alternative. You mentioned extra before, so we can add extra in front of the adjective, probably more in spoken colloquial Italian. You can say questo è extra importante.
Extra importante, okay.
Or iper, which is quite common.
So and, hyper, in a sense.
Sì. And if you go to Italy, you can find un ipermercato, for example, which is a little bit more than a supermercato.
So a hypermarket, yeah. Iper there. But you can stick that in front of most adjectives, yeah?
Yes, not all of them. This is something that comes a little bit when you develop some sort of sensitivity for the language, I would say. But it's good at least to recognize them. And one that I really like is arci.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah, so arci, would an example be arci stufo?
Sì, bravissimo. Sono arci stufo. I'm really, really fed up.
Fed up to the... Well, to the head, or fed up to the oaksters in Scots, we would say.
Sì, esatto.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then after the break, we'll come back and we'll be listening to a conversation in which you're going to be hearing lots of these superlatives, and it gives you a good chance to hear them in context. But for now, a dopo.
In addition to the podcast version of Coffee Break Italian Season 3, we are also putting together a full course on the Coffee Break Academy, where you'll be able to access bonus materials to help you make even better progress with your Italian.
That's right. Not only will you be able to enjoy an ad-free audio version of each lesson, we'll also provide a bonus episode in which we'll go through every detail of the dialogues, and a third episode for each lesson in which Francesca will be testing testing us with some translation challenges based on the lesson topic. Of course, there are comprehensive notes and a video version of each lesson too. Visit coffeebreakitalian.com and follow the links for season 3 there.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Allora, Francesca, puoi spiegarci un po' la conversazione di oggi?
Sì, Mark, mi piace molto questa conversazione perché tu, Mark, sei il Sarto Luigi.
Okay, I'm a Sarto, which is like a tailor?
Sì.
A dressmaker?
Sì, 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 esatto, sì.
We have the word in English, sartorial, linked to this.
Okay.
So I'm the dressmaker or the tailor. And who else do we have?
And we also have Silvia in the role of Federica, who is my friend. And I'll also be in the dialogue in the role of Elena. And I'm desperate because I need to find a dress for my friend's wedding.
Let's have a listen to the conversation.
Federica, sono disperata. Mancano 3 giorni al matrimonio di Roberta e ancora non ho comprato un vestito adatto.
Ma come? Perché non usi quello che hai messo al matrimonio di tua sorella? È bellissimo.
Lo so, ma non mi piace mettere lo stesso vestito 2 volte. E poi Roberta è molto attenta a questi dettagli e so che si offenderà.
Allora ti accompagno alla boutique Belle Époque del Sarto Luigi. È il negozio più caro della città, ma vende i vestiti migliori di tutti. Forza, andiamo!
Buongiorno, signore. Posso aiutarvi?
Salve, cercavo qualcosa di elegante per un matrimonio.
Guardi, sono appena arrivati questi abiti all'ultima moda. Ne ho venduto una alla ragazza che è appena uscita.
Ma sono costosissimi, sono i più costosi tra tutti i vestiti che ho provato fino ad ora.
Tranquilla, signora, in questo negozio facciamo degli ottimi sconti.
Va bene, allora ne voglio provare un po'. Guarda, Fede, che ne dici?
Il vestito giallo è sicuramente il più raffinato di tutti, ma il giallo è anche un colore delicatissimo.
A me piace molto il vestito nero.
Sì, ti piace perché è il meno caro. Scusa la sincerità, ma secondo me ti sta malissimo. E poi il nero è un colore non molto adatto per un matrimonio.
Perché non prova questa gonna? È il modello più gettonato della stagione. Abbiamo molte tinte e diverse lunghezze.
Sono tutte molto belle. Questa forse è la più carina di tutte. Perché non la provi?
No, sai che ho un pessimo rapporto con le gonne. Non le metto da quando andavo all'asilo.
Ma ha preso in considerazione i pantaloni? Un completo giacca e pantaloni e un bel paio di scarpe con il tacco. Che ne pensa?
Non ci avevo pensato, ma mi sembra la migliore di tutte le opzioni.
Elena, il signore ha ragione. L'anno scorso la testimone di mia cugina Chiara indossava i pantaloni ed era sicuramente l'invitata più elegante di tutte.
Allora, provi questo. È il modello più richiesto tra i completi da donna.
Wow, è davvero perfetto. Penso che lo comprerò.
Sei sicura, Elena?
Sicura, sicura. Ah, ma quanto costa?
È l'ultimo modello rimasto, quindi ha un prezzo molto interessante. Solo 89 euro anziché 145.
Interessantissimo, direi.
Grazie, signor Luigi. Lei è sempre il migliore.
Okay. No Oscars there for that, I don't think.
I think you did really well. I love your voice in this dialogue, Mark. Bravissimo.
Grazie. Okay, shall we talk a little about what has been happening in this dialogue?
Sì, as we mentioned in the introduction, Elena, myself, Elena is desperate because she has nothing to wear for Roberta's wedding in 3 days' time. Mm-hmm. So her friend Federica is obviously helping her, and she suggests that she just wears the dress that she wore for her sister's wedding. But Elena is not too sure. She thinks that wearing the same dress twice is not really ideal. And she also doesn't want to offend Roberta.
Yeah. So what do they decide to do?
Well, they decide to visit your shop, Luigi's Boutique, which is also the most expensive shop in town, with the best clothes, obviously.
Of course, yeah, you know, my sense of style goes before me.
Sì. And yes, Luigi, the tailor, shows them some expensive dresses, but he also says he can give some interesting discounts, some very good discounts.
Okay, so what happens next?
See, Elena decides to try on a yellow dress, but she prefers the black one, which also happens to be cheaper.
Yeah, but the black is not ideal in a sense, because she's going to a wedding.
See, Federica says that it wouldn't really suit her and it's not appropriate for a wedding. Mm-hmm.
Then Luigi has a suggestion.
Sì, he suggests a skirt, una gonna, but Elena is not really the type of person who would wear a skirt.
Skirt, yeah. Yeah, she hasn't been wearing a skirt since nursery.
Sì, infatti, molto tempo. So Luigi has an idea. He suggests a nice jacket, trousers, and high heel shoes.
Okay, now Elena thinks that this is a great idea, doesn't she?
Sì, and Federica agrees because she says that her cousin's wedding, we can say witness or bridesmaid probably, last year was wearing something similar, and she was the most elegant of all guests at the wedding.
Now, this turns out to be quite a good idea, not least because it happens to be the last remaining suit in the shop.
And it's quite cheap, I would say.
Yep. They get a special discount in a sense.
See, 89 euros instead of 145, which still would have been quite quite cheap for that type of dress.
Indeed. Excellent. Well, we'll be going through the conversation in more detail in our language study episode, which is part of our premium material. So if you have got that, then you can go straight onto that now and work through our premium version with our language study episode. That's almost it for this episode, but as ever, c'è ancora una cosina.
Sì, c'è una piccola cosina anche per oggi, Mark. And we have been talking in this episode about clothes, dresses, and trying things on and finding what suits us best. So in Italian, there is a phrase that we use to describe when something fits perfectly.
Okay, what is that phrase then?
This is calzare a pennello.
Okay, so calzare must have something to do with calze.
Sì, that's the idea. It means like it comes from calza, so from something that you wear, and it's used in a more extended way though. So it's used for all items of clothing, and also in a more figurative way as well. We can say that, for example, a nickname, un soprannome, calza pennello, un discorso, a speech, calza pennello. So it's really fit for the occasion or for the situation.
And what is un pennello?
Ho un pennello is a paintbrush.
Ok.
Un pennello, sì. So the idea is that something fits so well as if it was painted by a painter in a way.
That makes sense. Okay, so calzare a pennello. Could you give us an example of that in a sentence so that we can use this ourselves?
Sì, oh, questa sciarpa ti calza a pennello, Mark.
Ok, quella sciarpa hai detto?
Sì, scarf.
Yeah, so that scarf fits you like a glove.
Sì, sì.
It's perfect
sì.
for you. It's
sì,
you down
esatto,
to a
T. Sì.
Ok, with that, we shall leave this episode of Coffee Break Italian there. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and we hope that you've enjoyed our trip to the clothes shop. We'll be back next time with another conversation and more grammar for you to work through. For now, grazie mille e alla prossima!
Grazie a tutti, ciao ciao!
You have been listening to a Coffee Break Languages production for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2022, Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2022, Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.